Glorious. That's a great word, isn't it? In excelsis Deo, God exalted. And certainly it is a day in which we celebrate the exaltation of God, isn't it? A marvelous thing. I was thinking about the time of year. You always think, when was he really born? And the ambiguity of such. But I think it is interesting to make note in Isaiah chapter 8 at the end of the chapter, the prophet says, they will look to the earth and behold distress, darkness, and gloom, all of anguish, and they will be driven away into the darkness. In the next chapter, but there will be no more gloom, for who is in anguish? In earlier times, he treated the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali with contempt, but later on he shall make it glorious by the way of the sea on the other side of the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. And the people who walk in darkness will see a great light, and those who live in the land will shine on them. It is in this same text, verse 6, for a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us. Winter is the darkest time of the year, isn't it? But the promise that the light would shine in the midst of the darkness, and certainly God has done that. I think of Luke chapter 2, where it talks about, and Jesus had just turned 12. So we know that there, and then he was going to the feast of the Passover. So we know that's in spring. So he had turned 12. Spring, so somewhere in there. Is his birthday. May have been in the wintertime. It may have been just when spring was beginning. But we know that he was born, and we celebrate this time. Well, there's a passage in John chapter 4 that I'd like you to turn to with me. A while back, somebody came up to me with a thought about the cross, wearing the cross as, I guess, perhaps as a piece of jewelry or something like that. You know, I oftentimes get quoted, and I don't even remember what I said, but people obviously remember what I said better than I do. But somewhere along the line, it was said that I said that people shouldn't wear the cross, and I can't recall that I would say such a thing. Nevertheless, I know what I would say, is that you shouldn't wear the cross as a piece of jewelry. You should wear it as something that reminds you of what Christ has done for you. And you should not wear a crucifix, because Christ is not on the cross. He is risen. And so understanding that you wear something that reminds you of what he did for you, that's a wonderful thing. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that, but to wear it without thought, or perhaps to wear it in such a way that your life is just the opposite of what you're wearing, to us it has great meaning, and for somebody to just to wear it as a piece of jewelry would be inappropriate. It caused me to begin to think about Christmas, and Christmas in a way is a kind of jewelry that we, the celebration of sorts is a kind of jewelry that we wear. It's a time of lights, cameras, and concerts. And during this time, we begin to celebrate in external ways. And a while back, I got a card, and I always appreciate the Christmas cards that I get from different ones. And oftentimes, I get Christmas cards with pictures. And I like those, too, because it reminds me of who gave me the card. But this one picture that I had received actually made me sad, because as I saw the picture, and I saw the picture of the family, I knew what was going on in the family. And I'm looking at this picture, and everybody looked picture perfect, but I knew what was going on. And it brought sadness to me, because what you have is a photograph that's kind of like a trinket rather than a reality. And how easily we get into those kind of thoughts that, you know, it's a photo op. It's a thing that we do at this particular time of year. In John chapter 4, the woman at the well lived in Samaria, and her thought was is that in the mountain of the Gerizim, which is in the Samaritan area, this is where we worship God. Of course, according to Deuteronomy chapter 11, this is where Moses declared that this is where the praise was going to come from, or the blessings of Israel was going to come from. So they said, we worship in this mountain. And Jesus says, well, you're at the wrong place. You're in the wrong place. It reminded me that we can feel very strongly about something. It can be a part of our tradition. And it can be something that we perceive that we're doing that is pleasing to God. And yet everything be wrong. And how we find ourselves worshiping the wrong way and worshiping in the wrong place, doing the wrong things. Jesus turns around and says, but I'll tell you what the Father is looking for. And this is the passage, John chapter 4, verse 23. But an hour is coming, and now is, when true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For such people the Father seeks to be his worshipers. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. What is he looking for? He's just looking for you to be real. And you look at Luke chapter 2 and you see that first moment in which the Savior was born on the earth. And it's in a manger. It's not a lot of fanfare except for the angels that were proclaiming great things to the shepherds. But the audience isn't necessarily of dignitaries. What it is a time of reflection of God's grace and his mercy and his love for us. And it was almost a personal moment when you think about it. And I think in many respects, that's what Christmas is about. Well, Father, we give you thanks for the opportunity to reflect upon your love for us. That truly, as the song says, it was a time when love was born. And so we give you thanks. And we think of you this season. We do this in Jesus' name. Amen.